The thing I want to look at this morning is the notion of, well, we're going to start, put it like this, we'll start with the notion of sin. You know, we live in days where glibly you speak to people and glibly they say, oh, sin's been paid for, it's been dealt with, you know, as if we can ignore sin and it doesn't matter anymore. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what Jesus teaches us. Jesus taught, for example, when a person was healed, that yes, okay, you're healed, great. Sin no more, else something worse happened. Sin has an impact on our lives. And we ought not to be glibly dismissing sin as if it's something that was paid for by Jesus Christ, which it was, defeated by Jesus Christ, the results of sin, which they are, but then that it has no impact on our lives today. And the inference of that is that we live sloppy lives. And that's in many places today. Many churches, it's a heresy, it's false teaching, comes in, and what it's a sort of anything goes type of attitude. It's insidious. It just comes in creeping. Now, the truth, where we find it, is in the Scripture, of course. But to find the truth, what we need to understand is what sin really means. There was a debate this week, you know, people were saying, there was this chap saying, oh, for me, I'm not interested in all that Greek and all that Hebrew and all that studying. For me, I just follow Jesus. Well, yeah. But, you see, if there was integrity in those words, if there was real integrity in those words, then you would be interested in the Greek and the Hebrew, because the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved. So whilst, you know, people posture themselves and say, well, you know, there's no integrity in that, because it doesn't match up with what the Scriptures teach. Scriptures teach that we should study. Now, having said that, listen, the one thing the Christian church doesn't need is more people with degrees in theology and PhDs and all the rest of it, and dry theology doesn't do anything for anyone. We've got more of that now than ever before. And look at the state of the churches. God bless them, but I mean, really. And so, you know, it's not that we need, but it is a genuine study that we need to appropriate the truth from the Word. So, my point is this. What does sin mean? Yes, people who are sin, well, they give a list of sins, but they don't actually know what it means. We find out what it means when we look into the Greek. We look at the other uses of it in the Greek. We find out the real meaning of sin. And then we appropriate from the text the truthful meaning. So, for example, sin in the Greek, the inference mostly used for that word is to miss the mark. It's used, the same word is used of someone involved in archery, and they fire the bow and the arrow shoots and it misses the mark. So it's to miss the mark. Okay. So it's missed the mark. Now then, to walk in sin then doesn't necessarily mean that people are involved in, you know, a terrible list of the sins as we have them at times within the New Testament. It can be just that they are missing the target for their lives. It can be that God has given us a target. Ephesians tells us that he has prepared good works that we should walk in advance, that we should walk in those good works. He's prepared them in advance for us. In other words, God has set up a target for your life, for my life. Your life is known to God. The hairs on your head are known to God. You're so precious as a child of God before him. And he has a target for your life. And if you walk through life ignoring that target, insensitive to that target, you're walking in sin. Wow. Say, well, I'm not murdering anyone. No, but you're walking in sin. I'm not involved in these lists of whatever the sins might be. Yeah, walking in sin. So, wow. Now, doesn't that make the opportunity for prayer, dialogue with God, finding out what his will is for our lives, all the more exciting? And all the more relevant. Instead of going to prayer meetings, thinking, well, the prayer will be over soon. if I come 10 minutes late and I leave 10 minutes, I cut it down by. this is how people think of prayer. Because there's a lack of reality in what's the point, what's the understanding? Look, the point of the understanding is God has a plan for your life. God has a real plan for your life. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has a plan for you. And not to walk in that plan is to be walking in sin. Whew, that should be a revelation to a few here this morning. As we think on that, it drives us to prayer. Surely that will drive us to prayer, drive us to worship God, drive us to a sensitivity of the Holy Spirit, wanting to listen to him. And our sister was so right in what she said. So right and so on point with what we're saying this morning. That sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit. The other testimony we had from our sister and brother, in the prayer, a sensitivity. Oh, now we need to praise him. Praise him. And a sensitivity to be led by the Holy Spirit. See, in the scriptures, in the New Testament, what we have is a picture of this. We have a picture of those who are walking in the flesh and they're walking in sin. And we have a picture of those who are walking in the Spirit. That's the walk of God. So the walk of the flesh, you can't tell from the outside whether someone's walking by flesh or walking by the Spirit. But God knows. And it's about being sensitive to his leading and having a desire to be led by God. Amen? Amen. Living for self is sin. God's will should be the most important thing for our lives. You know, the enemy has people in a circle of defeat. The enemy has conned the world. Of course, he cons the world, but it's affected the church. So many people have, for example, priorities in, let's say, sports. And it's an important thing if so-and-so won the boxing or so-and-so won the football match or the rugby match or this, that, or the other. And it becomes, look, I like sports. I like boxing and golf. and rugby when Wales are winning. So I understand, you know, I've got a little bit of that, but let it be just a little tiny bit. Please, let it be just a little bit. The enemy has people focused on the wrong things. It's not important, that stuff. It really isn't important. It's a nothing. It has no impact on our lives, on the reality of our lives. You say, well, it really does. No. Your feelings make you feel really important when your team wins, you know, the tournament or the cup or whatever it is. That's just feelings. You know, when that, it's just emotions and feelings, but it's not really important to you. It has no bearing, real bearing on your life. What has a bearing on your life is your sensitivity to be led by the Holy Spirit. That, now you're talking. Now we're talking serious stuff. Football, whatever it is, these sports, nothing. It means nothing. Totally immaterial to us. And that's just one area, sports. We could look at entertainment. I've seen evening, it's just, I've got to go back. I want to find out what's happening with the soap opera on the television or something. It's totally irrelevant. It's an inconsequential thing in our lives. Totally irrelevant, inconsequential. What is relevant, what is of consequence, is our sensitivity to be led by the Holy Spirit. Am I making clear sense this morning?
Yes.
And this is very important, folks. This is a vital thing. The enemy has a plan, you see. The point of me highlighting this is this. The enemy has a plan to diffuse our effectiveness, to stop us having the impact that we're called to have. He wants us to feel less than we are. He doesn't want us to know the power-packed potential of you and I. We're not meant to just meander through life, you know, hoping that, you know, on a hope, on a wing and a prayer. No, he's called us, Romans 5:17, to reign in life, to walk through life as a person with faith and victory and assurance, so that friends and family members and those who come in contact with us know that there's something different about that person. That person is different. What's different about them? They have Jesus Christ on the inside. He's alive in us. And so we walk different. We don't think as the world thinks. The Bible says, I have been metamorphosized. I have been transformed, and I am now a new species of being, the New Testament says. It's not as if I'm a little bit different now. Oh, God's had a little impact on me. He's not had a little impact. The old Stephen Evans is dead, and a new man is alive, and he's alive in Jesus, and Jesus lives in him, and the difference is as radical as it could ever be. And that's the truth of this Christian walk and this Christian life. And we must appropriate that for ourselves, because God has a plan for our lives. He's called us. He's equipped us. But we need to yield to the calling and the equipping. How do we yield? By engaging with the Holy Scripture, by prayer, sensitivity. Making sense? All clear? I was interested to find out so many things over the last couple of weeks, a sense of God calling and drawing us. Towards this understanding. You know, in John 10:27, Jesus taught very clearly, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me." There are so many voices trying to get our attention. The voice of sports, the voice of entertainment, the voice of selfish ambition, the voice of those things that perhaps you wouldn't want to share with anyone here this morning. But you can share it with God, and God can give you victory over it. Share it with God. He can give you victory, whatever that thing might be. God can set you free. He came to set the captives free. Amen. Hallelujah. And the sensitivity to God and the Holy Spirit's leading, it must be there. You know, I've said it before, but it's a nice illustration. My darling wife, when I first got married to her, I thought, you know, well, we got married, and then we, because you move into the house. We moved into that house in Swansea together. And I got to discover there's, you may know of it, a green liquid. It comes, usually it's in the kitchen, and it's by the sink. When you pour it in, you add hot water to it, bubbles appear. Honestly, I've done it. It's a remarkable thing. No, I've done it, please. I've done it, and I've done it more than once. And it started when, through my relationship with my darling wife. And over a period of time, my sensitivity towards that green bottle and those bubbles grew. It's got more growing to do. But we've got a dishwasher now. But, you know, this green liquid. And then, of course, those wooden structures, big wooden structures that we had in our bedroom. I found that there were doors you could open. You could, in fact, hang clothes on those, inside those wooden structures. It's a tremendous vehicle for hanging clothes. And I've been finding that out, and I'm still, you know, having to change old habits and learn, but I'm getting there. And what I found is this: my sensitivity towards the green liquid and the wooden structures has grown through my relationship with my wife. It's grown, and I've changed as a result. Her impact on me, and now, even before she speaks it out, where she gives advice to me on these matters, even before she gives the advice on these matters, I'm sensitive, and I can sometimes even hear her voice, even when she's not there. I can hear the, you know, the encouragement to the green liquid and the wooden structures. So I walk through, and there it is. Oh, look, they're there. And I try and ignore them, but the voice is there. And then I have to look, and then it's, you know, and so the sensitivity has grown through the relationship. Well, look, we are in relationship with God, and the sensitivity should be growing. So it doesn't matter where you are on the sensitivity scale today, but make this the prayer for today and the commitment for today, wherever you are. My sheep will hear my voice. I want to hear the voice of God more in my life. I want to hear his voice because I want to walk along the path of his choosing. I don't want to walk in sin, which is the path that misses the mark. Sin misses the target, But walking in the Spirit is right on target. Amen. I want to be right on target with God. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And to this end, you know, we were in Wales, and where we live, where my parents still live in Wales, it's very close to the place where the Welsh Revival happened, the 1904 Welsh Revival. And I was given a book by my uncle on the Welsh Revival, written by someone who was there in the homes of the people who were the leaders of the revival. It's a very interesting insight into what was happening. The beautiful thing of the revival was this. There was no star preacher. No star preacher. A lot of preachers want to be stars today. There was no star preacher. There was no, you know, sense of, yes, Evan Roberts was known as the leader, but, you know, it was an informal thing. What there was a sense of God as the star. God as the one who's in charge. God and his awesomeness and his love for us and his drawing the people to worship him. But I was always struck by this because the church was known as the Calvinistic Methodist Church. And people always said, oh, well, that was that Welsh revival was a sovereign act of God, which I wouldn't dispute. A sovereign act of God, absolutely. God is sovereign. But there was a sense in which the people prepared themselves for the revival. And they asked four questions of themselves. I want to share with you briefly the four questions that they asked. And they did this because they knew that if they desired the outpouring of the Spirit of God, there was a sense that revival was going to come. There was an anticipation that revival was going to come. But they knew that they had to ask of themselves these four questions in order to facilitate and yield to the move of God. These are the four questions. Number one was to confess all known sin. Confess everything that was sinful. Every time we miss the mark, every time we miss it, just confess it and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. There I go again. I've got an issue with this area. I'm sorry, Lord. Don't cover it up. Don't pretend it's not there. Don't, you know, just confess it before God. You see, when we humble ourselves and confess like that, what happens is the power of God floods in to our lives. See, what we try to do is we try to overcome sin ourselves so often. People try and become determined. I say, right, that's it. That's it. No more chocolate for me. That's it. Not saying chocolate's a sin, but, you know, I'm talking about individuals. For some people, maybe, you know, they've been, no more chocolate. I'm not touching the stuff. I'm not going to touch it. Do you know, you'll come into church, you'll see those nice brown pews that have been painted. You think, oh, look, they're chocolate pews. Oh, there's a lovely big bar. Just imagine if there was chocolate pews. Oh, there's lovely chocolate pews. Oh, you'll be coming over here to the guitar. Look, it's got brown on the outside. Oh, it could be made of chocolate. You never know. Maybe there's a chocolate guitar somewhere. Thornton's doing, I think. And maybe, you know, the mind goes. The mind just drifts off. So you see, we can't overcome that which is a spiritual, supernatural thing through the flesh. We can't do it. And so this is the key. We've got to say, Lord, I don't know why I'm like this. I'm really sorry. I don't want to be like this. I want to be yielded to you, Lord. I don't want to be yielded to sin. I want to be yielded to you. And so I'm sorry for all of my sins. I'm sorry, Lord. Please help me. Help me get victory, Father. Please help me. And every time sin comes, do that. And don't beat yourself up. Just do that. That opens up the floodgates of God's Holy Spirit to come in and to empower us. And over and over and over, whatever amount of time you say that, however long you need to say it for any given situation, the Lord comes in. He's faithful.
Amen.
And that humility just causes the flow of God and the victory of God to come in our lives. So that was the first one. Confess all known sin. The second, put away all doubtful things and forgive everyone. Put away all doubtful things. If there's something you think, well, I'm not sure if it's right or wrong, this. I don't know. Is it maybe okay? I'm not sure. Put it away. Don't be involved with it. If it's doubtful, don't have anything to do with it. And forgive everyone. So don't walk in any unforgiveness to anyone. Whatever happens, just forgive. Forgive. Whoever they are, just forgive them. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in forgiveness and love. And that's the way to walk. That's the Christian way to walk. So often people hold on and that bitterness comes in. And that bitterness, you know, it stops the flow of God. Forgiveness can be a tough one for many people. But I think of Jesus on the cross. I mean, in my natural self, I'm telling you, if I was God and they did that to my son, oh, it wouldn't have been good for those soldiers. And those soldiers' families and everyone connected to anything at all to do with the whole thing. But I'm not God. God shows us how we should react. He teaches us. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that the most powerful thing anyone could ever do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Such an elevated thing, so far above it, that he looks down and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We must follow Jesus in this. And look at those people who've offended us, who've hurt us, who've caused us problems. Say, listen, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The truth is, most of them, they just don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. God bless the darlings. And then we walk free of that. It doesn't have an impact. It causes the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The third, obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We've heard it this morning, haven't we? We've heard it this morning. Obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The promptings of the Holy Spirit. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Do you know, we were in the church in Winstanley. And it was a Sunday morning, and the Lord said to me, well, he said, I was praying. I think it was after the service about the church and what we should do. We needed more space. There was a sense that we just needed more space. And it was, and the prompting of the Holy Spirit was, do the best with what you've got, and I'll take care of the rest. And I said, well, what's that? Well, you've got to sort the flooring out in the sanctuary area. And you know, you'd have done the best with what you've got. So we took the old carpet up that was very stained and dirty and everything, and the floors were polished, and the new carpet was put on the platform. And that didn't make sense to many people. I had people coming up and say, well, why are we doing this? Well, we're going to be moving. We're looking at places to move and everything. Well, God says, do the best with what you've got, and he's going to take care of it. Well, that's exactly what happened. But you see, if you're walking in the natural, you'd have never done that. because in the natural it didn't make any sense because we were going to be moving. But God knew. And we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And the more we yield to Him, I believe that it's the more sensitive we become to the Holy Spirit. So that's the third thing. The final thing is this. We're going to close here. Publicly confess Christ as your Savior. Amen. Tell people and evangelize. You know, I'm so happy we have this man, Paul Jones. There she was, just... He sang that song. And he's coming the end of this month. And he's going to be here, and he's going to be... The week before then, we're going to go out. We've got the evangelism team. Some of us, we know who we are. And we're going to be going out. We're going to be handing out these invites. We've had some more printed. And we're going to be handing out tracts. And we're going to be just letting everyone know. And just publicly confessing Jesus as our Savior. It can be a challenge, I know. But what I've found is this. Once we've confessed all known sin, once we've put away all doubtful things and forgiven everyone, once we're obeying the prompting of the Holy Spirit, it becomes easier to publicly confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's nothing holding back then. We've opened ourselves for the flow of God. And there's beautiful power in that. And you know, Jesus says this, the world will know us because of our love for one another. And so when we walk in that love, that forgiveness, that honoring one another, looking out for one another, the world will recognize that. As a church, walking in love is so important. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ, we are the people that must walk in love. And it's that agape love that we spoke of a few weeks ago. So, praise God for these things. Brothers and sisters, I want to close this morning by giving us an opportunity to pray and just to pray and ask the Lord, who loves us and wants to help us, for his help. That we can be all that He's called us to be. And then saying to God in prayer, Lord, we want to be your children. We want to walk according to your word. Can we all do that together as we close this morning? Let's stand in prayer, shall we? I'm going to say that later on this evening, we'll be going through, in the evening service, we'll go through some of these points in some details, and we'll also have an interactive where we can talk about some of these things. So please, if you can, come this evening, come. But now, let's close in this in prayer. Heavenly Father, then, Lord, we come before you this morning, and we're asking this, that Father, we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. If there's things that we need to ask for forgiveness for now, Lord, we ask that you'd prompt us right now. Everyone here, listen, if that applies to you, go to God in prayer now. And say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I yield to you, Lord. I'm sorry. If that's you, and those things are coming to your mind, those areas of your life, just go to Him now and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm asking forgiveness, Lord. It's been an area of defeat in my life, Lord, but Lord, I'm coming to you now this morning. And I'm saying, Lord, thank you for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for empowering me with the Holy Spirit. that I can walk in your victory. And thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Lord, I want to thank you. Oh, praise him for his love for us. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here, for your love for each one of us. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in and through our lives. And Father, we want to be the people that you've called us to be. We don't want to be walking missing your mark. We want to be walking right on target with you. And with that in mind, Father, we bring these things to you this morning. We want to be right before you, Lord, free to walk the walk that you've called us to walk, without any hindrances, anything holding us back. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Praise God. With everyone's eye closed, no one looking around, is there someone here this morning? You have a sense to recommit your life to the Lord. You want to recommit your life to the Lord. If that's you, put your hand up now, please. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Thank you, Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord, we commit ourselves to this life. And we commit ourselves, Lord, to those points that we've read out. Those 4 points, Lord, that's what we want for our lives. Point one, confessing all known sin, then putting away all doubtful things and forgiving everyone. Then obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit, then publicly confessing Christ as Savior. Father God, help us to walk in these things and to be your people, to walk in faith and victory, not in sin. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. If anyone would like special prayer for anything, please come forward to the front.